Good evening, brethren. Well, I guess we're going to have some serious rain tomorrow, so batten down your hatches because it's coming in. You know, since July, end of July 23 till now, we had a kind of hit. My family and me have had kind of a crazy life, kind of hard in some ways and good in others. But with our son having that terrible stroke and having his physical difficulties, and we had to go through all the hospital stuff and get all the book paperwork and all that stuff and Social Security cards and everything else. It was just a constant hassle. No matter what we did, especially with the San Juan King County, to get things done, and we followed the rules explicitly, but it's always, oh, we gave you the wrong paper. Oh, this can't, it just kept, every time, everything we did was three or four different times. And we're down to about one now, which is a good thing. But the blessing is that we got guardianship of our two grandchildren, Bethany and Bannison, and that's a true blessing. It's hard work sometimes, but we're going to raise them until they're ready to leave the perch when they get out of high school and stuff. But I've had a little problem with my temper. I get kind of upset, and I have a lot of disappointments because you think I got everything done, and we do all this, being Beth, and then it's not done. And they come back, no, you didn't do this. You have to do this. You got to get this. Well, you didn't tell us that. We didn't get that. We did that. And it just gets disappointed a while, and you can kind of get depressed sometimes. It kind of puts you on edge. But it's been constant. Like I said, we're down to maybe one last thing now. We thought we had that worked out. We found out, oh, no, we have to change counties. We didn't know the court didn't change the counties like they're supposed to. So we got one more thing to go. But anyway, it made me start thinking about being disappointed in things. So today's sermonette is entitled Disappointment, A Question of Perspective. A Question of Perspective. This is for me as well as for everybody else. There was a passenger said on an airplane, "But I reserve the seat by the window." The middle-aged man bellowed, his face red with anger. The frustrated flight attendant, who had no jurisdiction whatsoever over the seats, how they were assigned, was close to tears. At the same time, other boarding passengers were struggling to get by this confrontation in the narrow aisles of the plane. Here was a person who was experiencing disappointment over a very petty matter and not had the ability to handle it very well. Brethren, life has its disappointments, and many of them are far from trivial like this was. The birth of a defective child, the loss of a job, the death or the serious injury of a loved one. Such are some of the major traumas we all must face at one time or another. And even those who seem capable of coping with minor letdowns sometimes fall apart when some major disappointment comes along their way. There are three different ways to react to life's problems. One, some try to cope by fleeing reality. They may occupy their minds with various forms of entertainment, devotion to some cause or club, or the pursuit of some goal. Two, they may seek relief through drugs or alcohol. Three, others handle disappointments by rewarding themselves to make up for what they have had to endure and give up, like a new car, jewelry, clothes, etc. Now, such reactions may soften life's blows by diverting one's attention, but there's a better way that comes to terms with reality. It has to do with understanding the purpose of life. Life is not dead-end road. It leads somewhere. God put us on earth for a purpose, brethren. The disappointments, the trials, the problems all encounter are not meant to be roadblocks. They are hurdles. Sometimes you knock them down. Sometimes you get over them, but you go back and you go over those hurdles again. Their purpose is to strengthen us, to defeat us at all. The realization of this fundamental truth can change a person's perspective and enable him or her to deal with adversities. Notice how this is demonstrated in the writings of a man named Paul, the most prolific contributor to the New Testament. Talk about disappointments now. Paul had a lot. This remarkable person faced many events in his life, often turned out very differently from what he had planned, sometimes painfully so. More than once, he had unjustly been thrown in prison or tortured for his beliefs. Paul experienced execution attempts, serious accidents, attacks by criminals, betrayal, and opposition from those who tried to help. He was only all too familiar with pain, weariness, loss of sleep, lack of food, water, shelter, and even clothing. What did all these things, trying events, make Paul? A depressed, a discouraged, a defeated individual. Not at all. Not at all. All his writings show that. Paul was thoroughly a positive person, one who dealt with difficulties with a triumphant spirit. He had, you see, discovered something. Let's turn to Philippians 11, please. I have that wrong for some reason, but we're going to go to Philippians. There's no Philippians 11. I know what I did there. But anyway, the verse says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what was his secret? He could handle all these problems and more because his perspective was right. He had the proper relationship with his Creator, God. In fact, it directed his life. This is to say, Paul actively sought divine guidance in everyday affairs. He sought God's help in difficult times, so when the events did not transpire as he expected them to, he hoped he could still maintain that positive outlook, and he did. Let's turn to Romans 8. I believe I had that in the right place. Romans 8. Romans 8, verse 28. It says, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How about you, brethren? Would you like to be able to weather life storms with a peaceful mind? You'd like to be able to face disappointment with confidence and a positive outlook? You can. It's a question of having the proper perspective and faithful reliance on God. And God gave us a wonderful source, a wonderful tool to help. The Bible speaks with divine authority about human behavior, thoughts, and interpersonal relationships. The Bible gives reasons to live and make the most of life while we have it. The Bible offers us a key to mental resources we need to cope in the fast-changing world. The Bible does not give us a blind faith and last-chance hope. It gives us reasonable information we can believe and we can use in our lives. Its principles are practical. We can have confidence that the Bible's instructions are trustworthy guides to life. Remember, disappointment is cured by revamped expectations. Disappointment is cured by revamped expectations. In closing, it's like the story of the fellow who went into the pet store and he searched for a singing parakeet. Seeing he was a bachelor and lived in a real big house, it was so quiet in there, he wanted some sound, some music. The store owner had just the bird for him. He goes, "I got a great bird. This bird makes beautiful sounds." So the man bought it. The next day, the bachelor came home from work, and the house was full of music. The bird was chirping. It was beautiful, great sounds. He went to the cage to feed the bird. He noticed for the first time the parakeet had only one leg. He felt cheated. He had been sold a one-legged bird. So he called the pet owner and was very upset with him. And the pet owner said, "What do you want?" And he told the guy, the store owner replied to him in response. He said, the store owner responded, and he said, a bird who can sing, or a bird that can't dance. That's a good question for times of disappointment, isn't it?